Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." That's lovely. Then a little later, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." That gets a little more interesting. And then, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day, for my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them." It starts getting a little weird. The whole thing about eating flesh and drinking blood, and what makes it even weirder is the Greek word for eat is like to gnaw on. "Unless you gnaw on my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." This is gory and freaky stuff. This is not like namby-pamby spiritual. This is like messy and bloody and gory and gross. And I want to talk about why it's messy and bloody and gory and gross. Now, in order to do that, I need to talk about the cross, which is messy and bloody and gory and gross. But in order to talk about the cross, I need to talk about us. I need to talk about why the cross was necessary before I can talk about what the cross means, which will then allow us to talk about why this is so messy and gory and gross. So let's start with us, which is what I spoke about last week. We are spectacular. Humans are spectacular. You are spectacular. Our ability for compassion and love and kindness and generosity is spectacular. The way that a piece of music can move us to tears and feel us and make us feel connected to God and to one another is spectacular. And we are clumsy. We are all clumsy in the way we go through our spectacular lives. We are all paralyzed by anxiety and fear and addictions and like mess up ways that we think. We are all like emotional bulls in china shops, and we don't even know it, and we offend people, and on top of that, on top of us being like emotionally clumsy, to make matters even better, we're all judgy. So when someone is emotionally clumsy, we start judging them and sending them to hell in our hearts, and then we judge ourselves. So you can see that we're this mix of unbelievably spectacular and clumsy and goofy and like lost causes. Welcome to humanity. Now the Bible and like the Christian journey and it's all trying to wrestle with, what do we do with that? And what does God do with that? It starts with God creating us in God's image and God looking out over all of creation and going, "This is good, I'm good." And then just a few chapters later, God is going, "Oh, what have I done? These people, they just keep killing each other and slaughtering each other. My children that I love are just killing each other." So God realized, God, "I made a big mistake. I'm going to try again." So God does this grand do-over. God picks one family that God thinks might get it right and decides to wipe out all other people and beings from the planet. And that's the story of the flood. And God sends this flood that slaughters all of the people and the animals. When it's all over, God says, you know, that wasn't my best idea. I'm not going to do that again. And God creates the rainbow, and that becomes a symbol of God saying, you know, we're stuck with each other. I'm not going to wipe you off the face of the earth again to try again. What I'm going to do this time is I'll pick one particular family, one particular group of people, and I'll just give them my special attention because the whole world is just too much. So I'm going to focus on this one people and try and get it right with them. And they're in slavery and they need me, so I'm going to go and save them. And then they're going to be grateful and we're going to get it right. And I'll give them 10 commandments and everything's going to be awesome. And God does that, and, you know, it kind of works, and it kind of doesn't. So then God thinks, I'm going to try something completely different. What they're not getting, the people aren't realizing how much I love them. The people aren't realizing how closely I am connected to them, and not in the beautiful, lovely times, but in every time, in every moment. People aren't getting how I love them, how I'm connected to them, and how I want them to love each other. And the only way for them to get that is if I become human and live among them. So God becomes human and born in Jesus Christ and lives among us to communicate that God is here. What God does is God enters the messy, mucky brokenness of humanity. God becomes flesh in Jesus Christ, and then doesn't, shock of shocks, doesn't hang out with the beautiful people, but instead hangs out with the broken and the lost and the least and the brokenhearted, and says, the kingdom of heaven is here. Stop looking elsewhere. Stop looking outside of your life. Wake up and realize the kingdom of heaven is here. Your ability to love one another and love God will never go away. It doesn't matter how broken or distressed things become. The kingdom of heaven is here, and I love you, and God loves you, and we're going to love one another. And it is in the brokenness and the messiness, that's where God goes. In the gritty, hard, bloody, messy part of humanity. That's where God goes and says, the kingdom of heaven is here. Now, if Jesus only hung out with the beautiful people, we would think the kingdom of heaven is only there and God only loves them. But instead, Jesus comes and hangs out with the broken and the least and the lost to the extent that Jesus becomes the most broken, the most least, the most lost by being crucified, by being tortured, stripped naked, humiliated. And Jesus is saying, even here, God is present. There is no corner of human cruelty where God is not present. There is no corner of human cruelty and brokenness that God has not redeemed. There is no corner of your life, no broken part of your life that God has not come to in love. God is there in that. And you can see like how the stakes become grittier and messier and bloodier because that's where God is. God's in the thick of the mess. That's where Jesus is. Jesus is in the thick of the mess, entering wholeheartedly. The cross was necessary. It was necessary that Jesus experience the depth of human depravity, so that we can't think there are corners where God doesn't go. Now, here's the harder part. Not only does God in Jesus go to the most broken parts of human existence in order to redeem it, God says, Jesus says, if you want to be alive, if you really want to be alive,
You have to follow me there. Being a Christian is not about worshiping Jesus. Being a Christian is about following Jesus. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, take up your cross and follow me. Follow me into the broken parts of the world, the brokenhearted parts of the world. And you know, if I think about the times in my life when I was most alive, it was when I was striving with other people, when I was like in the mix of humanity. And there's a part of me that wants to think that what makes me more alive is Netflix. Or Amazon Prime, when I'm in a shopping mood, right? And I think that if I watch more Netflix, then I'm going to be happier, and I'm going to be more alive, and if I shop more, then I'm going to, like, and that's all well and good, but what it mostly does is numb me. You know, like, what really brings you alive is when you enter into, like, the life of other people, and you persevere with other people, and you strive with other people, but we're afraid to do that, and Christ is coming, and we'll talk more and more and more about how Christ removes fear and engenders hope and calls us into that. But what this passage is saying, what the cross is doing, is inviting us, letting us know that if you want to really be alive, you have to really enter the mess. You have to chew on the flesh of the Son of Man, which means you have to enter into the harshness and reality of life. Yes, you need time to watch Netflix. Like, you need a break every so often, but that's not what brings you alive. What brings you alive is entering into the reality of the struggle of human existence. And what Jesus is saying is, even though you're afraid and even though it's going to hurt, because crucifixion hurts, even though you're afraid and even though it's going to hurt, it's the path to eternal life. Now, there are lots of ways the cross can inform us. I'm only going to talk about two today. I just want you to know that this is not exhaustive. There are other meanings that we can derive from this story. So one meaning is that if we want to live, we need to enter deeply, like really, in the human struggle, into the, like, in the people we love whose hearts are breaking, for us to be honest about the ways our hearts are broken, to enter into that. But that's not enough. The second thing the cross is teaching us that I want to highlight today is illustrated in Luke's gospel when Jesus is hanging on the cross and he cries out to God, Father, forgive them, they know not what they're doing. Because there's a way in which entering the human struggle can be your path to hell. Because when you enter the human struggle, you're going to encounter people that aren't behaving well. And you're going to want to judge them and send them to hell in your hearts. And when you do, you go to hell in your heart. The other piece of this is, don't let the cruelty of other people rob you your ability to love. Don't let them get away with that. Don't let the cruelty of other people rob them of your ability to be loving and open-hearted. So what the cross is calling us to do is to enter wholeheartedly into the human struggle, but don't give in to that voice in your head that's calling you into evil, that's inviting you to judge others. So to enter the human struggle wholeheartedly and remain open and loving and supple. That's the impossible Christian journey. For me, that's what it means to take up your cross and follow Jesus. And on the eve of Jesus going to the cross and dying and modeling all of this, he says to his followers, here is my body, chew on this. And he says, if you want to remember me, do that. If you want to remember me, Jesus says, take a breath. Turn to the person next to you. Break it. And say, this is me broken for you. Think about that. Think about that as a way of life. You take bread. You turn to the person next to you.
and you say, this is my body, this is me, broken for you, poured out for you. Gnaw on that. Right? Chew on that and think about what that means. If that's how you live your life, that's how you pattern your life. And what Jesus is saying is, this is how you remember me. This is how I am made present with you. Do that. If you chew on that, if you drink that, and you are transformed by it, you will have eternal life. You will be entering into the life of the eternal. You will be living your real life. There's one other piece I want to add to this. This Last Supper story was a Passover meal, and the Passover sacrifice was kind of unique. Most sacrifices, most of the ancient Jewish sacrifices, when they sacrificed an animal, it was given completely to God and consumed by God. The Passover, however, was a sacrifice that part of it was given to God and part of it was shared by the people. So it was a communal meal where God and the people are sharing a banquet together. What Jesus is saying at the Last Supper is, I am that Passover sacrifice. So not only are you sharing this meal with God, but as you take this meal, you are taking God inside you. So you are being sustained by the God of sacrifice and love so that you can then go out and be partners with the God of sacrifice and love. So what you're chewing on, what you're gnawing on, is the reality of how deeply you are loved by God. To the core of your being. You're gnawing on the reality that there is no broken part of you that hasn't been loved and redeemed by God. And you're gnawing on the reality of your call to be that love, that broken and broken-hearted love, transforming the world and not letting the cruelty of other people rob you of that calling and that vocation and that ability. That, my